Sir Darrand Rosail glowered into the blinding smoke as it cascaded back across HMS Grand Vicar Maris. He stood on the starboard poop deck ladder, 3 feet above the level of his quarterdeck, trying to see across the netted hammocks which formed a, hopefully, musket-proof barrier along the rail. At the moment, the stinking tide of smoke that spewed out with each broadside rendered his efforts to see anything more or less useless. Rosail's 50-gun ship was one of the first of the Royal Doleran Navy's new construction galleons, and he'd been more than a little surprised when he received command of her. He'd never made any secret of his personal allegiance to Duke Thorast, and he shared the Duke's dislike for the Earl of Thirsk to the full, if not for all the same reasons. Although Rosail was never going to forget all he owed to Thorast's patronage, he couldn't deny, in the privacy of his own thoughts, that Thirsk had clearly been right, and Duke Malachi had obviously been wrong before Rock Point. Anyone with the least awareness of how court politics worked knew it would have been foolish to expect Thorast to commit the disastrous folly of admitting his brother-in-law's stupidity had pissed away almost the entire peacetime navy, yet even the Duke must know it was true. Rosail did, at any rate. For that matter, the captain was willing to admit the advantages of the signal flags Thirsk had copied from the damned Carizians. The degree of control, of the ability to communicate between ships they provided, was priceless, and he shuddered to think of how things might have worked out if it had remained a Carizian monopoly. In fact, he'd been forced to concede Thirsk had a clearer, more realistic view than Thorast, in almost every respect, of the kinds of ships and tactics needed to knock those arrogant Carizian bastards back on their heels. All that was true, and Rosail knew it. But he also knew the Earl was systematically gutting the Navy in the process. He was promoting commoners over nobles, insisting gentlemen had to accept schooling from uncouth, low-born merchant seamen, like Andare Crawl of the Bedard. He was undermining discipline with his foolish restrictions on how it could be enforced. And this madness of his, requiring a seaman's wage be paid directly to his family, if that was his choice when he was at sea. And that it had to be paid in full and on time. Rosail had no objection to paying the men their wages, eventually. But money was always tight. Sometimes decisions had to be made about where to spend limited funds, and seamen aboard a warship didn't have anything to spend money on, which made not paying them until the end of the commission a reasonable way to husband scanty funds. Of course, sometimes they couldn't be paid immediately after a ship paid off anyway, but there were always brokers willing to buy up their delayed wages for a 20% commission or so. And if a man got himself killed at sea, which was bound to happen fairly frequently, the Navy didn't have to pay anyone, now did it? But not according to Thirsk. Even without the insanity of lifetime pensions for widows and orphans, insisting wages be paid immediately to a man's family was going to play hell with the Navy's finances in the fullness of time. Mother Church might be able to afford it, but there was no way the Kingdom of Dolar could continue the practice once the heretics were crushed. And who was going to end up being blamed and hated by the common lower-deck scum when it had to be abandoned? Not Earl Thirsk, that was for certain. No, it would be left to Duke Thorast to clean up the mess, and they'd be lucky if they avoided mutinies in the process. And when that happens, the way Thirsk's cut the balls off Navy discipline isn't going to help one bit either, Rosail thought grimly. The lash can't make a bad seaman good, but it can make a good seaman bad indeed. The lash is all most of them really understand. The way Thirsk's sucking up to them is going to leave all of us even deeper in the shit when it comes time to clean up behind him. But this wasn't the time to pick fights with the man Vicar Elaine and Vicar Jaspar had selected to command the Doleran Navy. That time would come once the disastrous consequences of Thirsk's more outlandish policies became apparent, and Rosale was rather looking forward to that day of comeuppance. In the meantime, though, there was a war to fight, and as insane as Earl Thirsk might be, in altogether too many ways, at least he understood what had to be done if that war was going to be won. Grand Vicar Maris heaved as she blasted yet another broadside into the smoke, and Rosale smiled thinly as he pictured what that torrent of iron must be doing to its target.
"I wish I could see the damned thing," he admitted to himself. "Still, I can see the masts, and the rest of the frigging ship has to be somewhere under them."
He snorted in harsh amusement at the thought, and climbed the rest of the way up the ladder to the poop deck. He'd be more exposed from there, but maybe he could actually see something up to windward.